Hello and welcome, everybody, to the first Meet the Player. I'm your GM, Jason, and you'll find out more about me later, but with me tonight, I have Cynthia.
Hi, guys.
Oh, how are you doing?
I am good, Jason. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was lucky to catch Cynthia right before she makes a big move, so we're able to record this, which I'm very grateful for. What we're trying to establish with these intro episodes is just for the audience to get to know a little bit more about the player, maybe a little bit more about the character, and then really kind of help establish a voice to a character when we get into it. So, first thing, what I'd like to start off with is, how about you just introduce yourself, Cynthia? Tell us a little bit about you.
Of course. So I'm Cynthia. My gamer tag is Sakti Phoenix. So you can find me on Steam using that tag, and also on Twitter, and more specifically Final Fantasy XIV, because I love playing that game. By profession, I am a scientist. I work in a clinical laboratory. I have enjoyed role-playing games for a while now. I started with a group of my own back 3 or 5 years ago, and it was a really great experience just to get to know more people, get to make new friends, and I ended up in one of Jason's groups thanks to his wife, and I've had the pleasure of playing with Jason ever since. So it's been a delightful interaction throughout the years, and he made me a believer, and I switched from D&D to Pathfinder because of him.
Yeah, I remember that meeting. We were at a dinner party, and my wife Christy introduced us, and we just started talking, and then I found out you guys played D&D, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I said, we play Pathfinder with a couple others from the lab, and invited you to join us. And we were playing first edition Pathfinder for, what was it, like a year and a half, 2 years?
A year and a half, yeah.
Yeah, we were doing some of the modules in there. We started with Crypt of the Everflame, and we did that trilogy. So I can't remember what the middle one was, but I know the third one was City of Golden Death. The Masks of the Living God was the second one. That's what it was, yeah.
Yes, I think we joined you at the tail of that.
Masks of the Living God, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and then we did City of Golden Death.
Yes.
And then we did that one, I forget what it was called. There was that murder mystery one in the Isle of Jal Marais. And there was that like Indian, like very like in Asian Indian flavored town, which was really cool. Yeah,
that was awesome. At the time I was playing a summoner, a cleric who could summon Juno. So we would summon essentially eagles.
Yeah, celestial eagles.
Yeah, celestial eagles, and they would be called Freedom 1 and Freedom 2. They came in handy a number of times.
Yeah. So beyond doing TTRPGs, and I know you mentioned Final Fantasy 14, but what other hobbies are you into?
I come from a small town in Mexico named Colima, and we used the pride of Colima was a painter, a maestro named Alejandro Rangel, who created a specific type of illustration style, and it became internationally renowned. Like, he published UNICEF works, like these postcards called Angels of This World, like back in the 50s and 60s. And so one of the things that I take a lot of pride in is having learned that style, because only a handful of people know how to do it in the world. And so I learned to paint Rangeliano from a very young age, and I can share some of my work later on with you and the audience if you guys desire.
That's awesome. Honestly, I didn't even know that. We've known each other for almost 6 years, 7 years now, and I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I had to put it on the side while I was doing my fellowship. So the fellowship was super intensive, so I didn't have a lot of time to paint. But now that I'll become a bit more stable job-wise, it's going to allow me to like really put my style to the practice.
And you'll have all these cold Minnesota winters to coop in and yeah. practice painting. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
I knew that you did art. I didn't know that you did specifically painting. I know we got into the conversation about a month ago about tattoos.
Yes.
And how you've designed tattoos for friends before. So That's awesome.
Yeah, I did that on the side. I was doing illustrations on Fiverr like many years ago because I wanted some extra cash. So I got myself an iPad and an iPen, and with Procreate, I was just making these tattoos, and I ended up selling like $300 worth of tattoo designs on Fiverr and these designs for my friends for free. So happy to say that at least four of them have them on their skins now. So that's pretty cool.
I do eventually want to finish my 3/4 sleeve, so I might have to get a Cynthia original on there.
That'll be my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, the 3/4 sleeve is going to be all a bunch of like a collage of nerdy stuff. Mm-hmm. So like I'm going to throw a D20 on there. I might throw a Cihedron from Pathfinder and you know, Ghostbuster stuff and Back to the Future stuff. So I'll have
That's awesome.
Maybe you can design me a lightsaber. That would be cool.
That'd be neat. Okay. Now I'm going to have to start thinking about that.
So we are going to be playing Jewel of the Indigo Isle, which the publisher, Stephen Glicker, has described it as Indiana Jones meets Guardians of the Galaxy meets Pixar, but set on almost like Caribbean islands. So one of the questions I wanted to ask is, if you were stuck on a desert island, what are the top five things that you couldn't be without?
Oh, gosh. So one of my things that I do when I'm bored is just watch survival videos on YouTube. And I can say that, first of all, I would need a machete. That would be one of the things that I would want to have and that I couldn't survive without in an island in that scenario.
It's practical. It's practical.
It's super practical. Yeah. I would say the second thing would be like, you know, some sort of like meshing to catch fish or like make some, I don't know, kind of bed or something, you know, still thinking survival here. Third thing, maybe some source of fire. I know that you can always try to make fire on your own, but it's easier if you have things that can help you with that. I know what I want for the fifth item, but probably for the fourth, I'll go with some sort of, I don't know, good gear, you know, like good boots. I would hate to just be bare feet and just brace the elements. I know that that's something that not many people think about, but it can be so debilitating. And then finally, I would actually bring a book.
Is there a particular book?
Yes, I would bring Terry Pratchett's Small Gods.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that the way that he uses satire to just illustrate and bring light to different social problems is magnificent. He's just a freaking genius. And I actually had the pleasure of meeting Sir Terry Pratchett in New York Comic Con. I don't remember if it was like 2012 or later. And he was awesome. He was like the best type of human being that you can imagine. So I had a blast chatting with him. We took a picture, and I would want to bring that.
That's awesome. I've actually just got done rereading a few months ago. Now I'm spacing on it. Good Omens.
That one he did
with Neil Gaiman.
Yes, it's great. The series is fantastic too.
Yeah, the series is phenomenal with David Tennant. Mm-hmm. And just,
yes.
David Tennant's amazing.
Yes.
Last question before we get into your character. And this is probably the most important question, at least when it comes to me. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have pie or cake?
Gosh, that is so hard to answer. I would have pie.
Yes, excellent. You've chosen wisely.
Yes, I would have pie.
Well, now we can get into more of the character stuff. So, how, you know what? Let's just dive right into it. Mm-hmm. Who is your character, Cynthia?
So my character for this campaign is a half elf witch named Practa.
What does Practa look like?
So Practa, she is a really beautiful woman, and I think that the fact that I'm making her like really good looking has to do more with what is going on inside her. So even though she's like super good looking, she's going to be terribly awkward to talk to. So it's kind of like that sense that you approach someone very good looking and then you talk to them and you realize like, oh my God, what the hell is this person thinking? She's just going to be like extremely socially awkward. And that awkwardness comes from the fact that she's an introvert, and she was actually a scholar that stumbled upon a scroll that sent her on the trip of her life.
Excellent. So with that in mind, are there any goals that she has? Like, what is... what's her goal? What is she trying to achieve on this adventure and joining this crew?
Yes. So Practa herself and one of her ancestry feats is actually natural ambition. So the very first thing that she always wanted to possess since she remembers is knowledge. And I think that I identify with Practa in that regard, especially since me being a scientist, I really want to know the most I can so that I can better serve the patients whose tests I review. And she really wants to know more, not only about the world that she's living in, but about the universe. And so Practa herself is a homage to Lovecraftian cosmicism. You know, you have this concept of having or finding the silver key that opens up a portal to different worlds or different dimensions, different timelines. And so that is essentially what she stumbled upon with that scroll. And that ability that she can now explore and gain knowledge from essentially the great beyond, the entire universe, if she so desires.
That's phenomenal. As a matter of fact, earlier today, I was wearing my new Lovecraft hoodie. Mm-hmm. That there's a picture of Cthulhu on it, and it says, excuse me, do you have a moment to speak about our Lord and Savior Cthulhu?
That's awesome. Yeah, and now that you're bringing Cthulhu up, and obviously its intricate relationship in this Lovecraftian cosmicism and like dark philosophy, Practa eventually meets a character that is going to be of great importance to her. And later in life, she finds a little octopus that she finds very cute. She finds it in like the coast on the by the shore. She picks it up, and the very first thing that comes to her mind is calling this octopus Little Clulu. And the Little Clulu is obviously a tip of the hat to Mr. Big Señor Cthulhu.
That's right. Yeah. I know that one of the things that I want to do it for this campaign is I want each character to have a secret. I was originally going to have you reveal the secret to the audience right now, but I'm actually going to hold off on that. And
that sounds good.
I'm going to hold off on that. And I think you've as a witch, you've kind of hinted at it a little bit. So we'll just leave it at that, not go any deeper on that.
Yes.
So what I do want to ask, though, is your typical job interview questions about Procta's strengths and weaknesses, or strengths and flaws. Or if you really want to go corporate speak, what are her strengths and opportunities?
Oh, gosh. That really brings memories, because not long ago I had to take a big job interview. So I remember a lot of these questions. Practice strengths come in the form of knowledge itself. So she's a highly intelligent person. She really thinks before acting, and whenever she has to make a decision, she's going to look for the best possible outcome for herself and her group. So I think that she's able to, you know, interact with different characters and seek out the best route, which at the same time, this could be a flaw, given that what she thinks could be a good strategy or a good path to follow may not be in agreement with what others think. So she's very practical, and sometimes this may lead to maybe more, not neutral, but more like neutral evil decisions, which I hope we can avoid. Simply because she's truly neutral. She doesn't want to, damage anyone. She wants the best things for everyone, because she knows that what she gives to others, she gives to herself. That's one of her mottos. And she's there to share her knowledge.
Excellent. And as far as secrets go, I'm not going to have you reveal any of the big secret, but. Mm-hmm. Are there any like hidden motives or ulterior motives, or like small secrets, not the big one, but like small secrets for Procta that you want to share? Something that adds to her character, builds on it a little bit.
Yes. So one of her things is that she has a little silver key as a neck, like hanging from a necklace around her, obviously her neck. So she has a silver key as a necklace. And so from the very first time that we meet as a group, that silver key is going to be really noticeable. So once again, going back to the Lovecraftian cosmicism, the silver key is one of those recurrent themes that if you have it, then you have access to this door in a mountain that leads you to these other dimensions and in timelines and all that stuff. So the fact that she has that key means that the world in which she is right now is not the world that she comes from. So being a foreigner, she has a mission in joining this particular group. And that has to do with that someone and that secret that we cannot reveal yet. And that has to do with that little Clulu being her familiar.
Excellent. Well, I think that is about it. Any other thoughts or questions for me or anything?
Well, I am super excited to be joining this campaign. I know that you're going to be doing an excellent job in keeping us all together and going through all these dungeons and through the whole adventure. So I just want to thank you for inviting me to join this super cool podcast. And obviously, I'm here for whatever is needed. So I'm excited to join and ready to have fun.
Excellent. All right. Well, that'll be it. So I'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Pathfinder is property of Paizo Incorporated. The Jewel of the Indigo Isles Adventure Path is property of Battlezoo and Roll for Combat, copyright 2022. The theme music is used with permission, written and performed by Wunches and Rogues. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facebook. All trademarks are property of the respective owners.